Behind the Wheel with Peter Hitchener and Chris Miller.
Driven by behindthewheel.com.au.
I think it's that time, Pete.
I think so too.
You buckle up?
Yep.
Did you fill the tank there before we took off?
I'm just hanging on, Miller, because you're driving. I'm transfixed with the road ahead.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Wheel. It is episode 499, Pete.
Wow. We've done all right, haven't we?
499 weeks, that yes. means that we've been on air.
Absolutely.
And it feels like, what?
499, I mean, it's...
So, needless to say, big show on the cards for next week. But to kind of whet your appetite, we thought we'd turn on a big one this week, too. Mm. And we're going to start by heading to China.
Yes, Joel Helms. Now, he was guest of our mates at Havel, and he brings news of lots of weird and wonderful cars over there. He's got a few surprises in store as well. And if you're interested in electric cars, well, Joel has plenty of news about what's going on in the huge Chinese market by way of hybrids and electric vehicles.
Yeah, and kind of brands that we've never heard of. And so it's really exciting. We've also got Simon Lai to inject a bit of excitement too, as he screams around the block in a Nissan 370Z.
Oh my gosh, I just have to tell him, Simon, settle down. I know this is a meaty sports car, but really, don't bother set any land speed records.
And really kind of installing that baby seat in the boot... I don't think
he wouldn't do that.
I don't think it's safe, number one, or legal.
And it's not funny, so let's not even joke about it.
Poor kid keeps bashing his head on the rear window
don't
there.
Don't say it. No, can't stand it. Hey, listen, Rach is going to be along. She's entertaining, and she's got lots of madness. And I think this week, I think we're going to have some fun dreaming up names for our cars.
Yeah, because really, the SsangYong Starvik,
its style
can
in
be
itself.
Improved on a little.
I don't know about that. I think it's
such a great name.
It sets the benchmark, I think,
it's
pretty
like
much.
Chimera. It does sound like some sort of disease that you get in your nether regions.
Oh, everyone, he's being entertaining again.
Kevin Epworth, he's our mate from Kia. He's going to be along a little later too. Some news on a refreshed Kia Carnival, the best-selling people mover in the country.
It's a car that I really like, I must say, and a new generation. Let's see what they bring to the party on that, because the outgoing one is pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots to get through, too. Of course, we'll bring you a product review a little later in the show as well. And, in fact, in the next couple of minutes, we're going to jump in the BMW 630 GT.
Wow.
So, 630 GT, when I heard I was getting that, I immediately thought that it was going to be... You know the low slung kind of sedan that's kind of that coupe like sedan?
Right.
That's what I thought it was. And then I remembered, hold on a minute, the GT is the one with the big hatchback.
That's right.
Because you can get a 3 Series GT, and it used to be called the 530 GT. 530D GT.
Yeah, and it wasn't at all confusing which was which.
No, yeah, exactly. So now, just to kind just of just add a bit of clarity, we're now calling it the 630 GT.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, but it's pretty lush, so we're going to go around the block. In fact, I think we should head down to the garage right now. What do you reckon?
Let's do it.
All right, so before we head round the block, Pete, I know you've been challenged by the look of this car at its previous incarnation. It's kind of been smoothed off a bit, given a couple of edges here and there. First thoughts?
Not so bad. Actually, I like it.
I think I do too.
I do too. It's, you know, as with all these evolutionary things, at first sometimes you think, oh, gosh, it's gone a bit far. But then you become habituated to it, you become accustomed to it, and you think, actually, I can see what they were driving at with this.
Exactly. And it's enormous.
Yes, fabulous.
It just goes for forever. It's really long. Yep. I suppose it's sort of the sedan version of an SUV.
I guess
that's
what it is.
You know, it's got the same space inside as the SUV, but it's not sort of jacked up. Tell you what, you wait here. And we're going to jump in the car and I'll take everyone for a drive around the block.
Good work.
All right, so here we are inside what can only be described as a very luxurious cabin of this BMW 630 GT. It's got some aluminium or kind of metallic style panelling across the dash and across the doors. I've not seen it before in BMWs, and it's kind of lit up by a beautiful LED stripe. You can change the colour. At the moment, it's purple, which contrasts beautifully with the black stitching, the cream leather that's also stitched intricately on the doors, the beautiful quilted seats. They really have kind of, I suppose, made this a proper luxury car. Like, the interior of this thing rivals the 7 Series, I've got to say, with the way it's finished. And the amount of space in it is just huge. as we said before, it's kind of like an SUV without being an SUV. You've got the interior space of an SUV, if not maybe even a little bit more, but not the high ride and the wobble that you get when you try and go around a corner at any kind of speed. It's got a beautiful big 12-inch screen. It has gesture control. And I finally figured out what gesture control is all about. It's about entertaining teenagers, because I don't know any adult that really wants to wave their hand around in the air to turn the volume up and down when you've got a traditional volume knob, you've also got a volume control on your steering wheel, and you also look like a goose when you wave your hand around in the air while you're sitting in traffic. The problem is, if you're on the phone, for example, and you have some ethnic heritage like I do, and you tend to talk with your hands a bit, well, you might find yourself hanging up on people or adding calls when you're kind of waving your hands around in the air, thanks to the gesture control. I do believe you can turn it off. Of course, Apple CarPlay is available, as is Android Auto. First of the car makers to be able to offer that device without a cord, so it does it over the Bluetooth thing. It's still got a few bugs in it, I've got to say, though. Anytime I've used Apple CarPlay, cordless Apple CarPlay, you do find that sometimes the call quality can be a bit dodgy, I suppose you'd say. Look, everything else about it is gorgeous. You know, the temperature control is all LCD screen. You've got the traditional kind of BMW architecture in here. Digital dashboard, steering wheel's just gorgeous. Like, it really is a beautiful, beautiful place to be. And look, at Auto, we probably should go through some figures now. This ain't a cheap car, as you'd imagine. Firstly, it's got a BMW badge on it, so that gives you some indication. Then you have a look at some of the options that this car's fitted with. It is fitted with the comfort package. That gives you seat heating, front and rear. You'll get the roller sun blinds for the rear side windows, give you a bit of extra privacy. It's got the innovations package as well, which gives you the BMW display key, gesture control, as I mentioned, and remote control parking, which I have tried. Yes, it works, but wow, does it make you nervous. Yeah, not something that I would be forking out the extra $1,600 for. Metallic paint's $2,000, $1,300 for the white ivory Nappa leather, $620 for Apple CarPlay, which is a bit rich, I think. The most expensive item, however, as an option at least, is the Bowers & Wilkins Diamond Surround System. Now, undoubtedly, it's a beautiful sound system. Question is it worth $6,400? Yeah, I don't know. You get in the 630i, as you would in a 330i, or anything with a badge ending in 30 from BMW at the moment. That means you've got a 2-litre turbocharged four-cylinder developing 190 kilowatts, 400 newton metres. It actually is surprisingly good in this big car, and you'll still belt 0 to 100k in just on 6.3 seconds through that beautiful 8-speed automatic. So base price, you're looking at $123,500. Then if you add all those options I mentioned earlier, you're looking at $142,673 as this car sits. So I think we'll give it a kick in the guts. We'll take it around the block. I'll just be quiet here. You might have heard some of the electrics. When you you start the car, the steering wheel returns to the position it was in before it kind of moved out of the way for you to let yourself get out of the car. But, you know, it's a really well, well-organized cabin from a quietness point of view. There's obviously a lot of sound deadener in this car because it's it really does insulate you from the outside world. And as I mentioned, look, it's perky enough, but this thing, the way it drives, I've got to say, seems to me, at least, to be pretty much all about pampering luxury. So I'll just stick it in gear, and we'll have a crack around the block. So, of course, you've got the 360-degree surround view camera. You've got a beautiful big rear camera as well that, as you approach an object, so, for example, if we were kind of reversing out and something to the left of us was approaching, it gives you a left-hand view. Then, when you put the car in drive, you get a front view camera as well. So, certainly no excuse for bashing into anything while you're trying to park, because along with all the cameras, you have the sensors too. So, it really is easy to manoeuvre. And of course, as I mentioned before, you've got that remote control parking. But as I say, I'm not sure I'm comfortable to be using that in public, purely because I don't think I'd be able to do it properly, and I'd bugger it up and end up having the beautiful 630 GT sitting in the middle of a roadway or something along those lines. Anyway, how does it go? All right, let's have a listen. I'm going to put it in sport, gearbox in sport mode, engine in sport mode, which of course thickens up the dampening. Here we go. It's got a really nice raspy note to it. this engine is just an absolute peach. It loves to rev. It absolutely does. It's just, it's free, it's easy, and it just goes. And for such a little engine, you know, and the capacity is so small, the power it puts out is spectacular. Just having a quick flick through of our current consumption levels. And at the moment, I'm averaging, what is that? I'm averaging 8.9 litres per 100k. It's not bad for a car this size. I think it's actually pretty good. There's a lot to love about this car. I think one of the great things about it is you're in very exclusive company. I've been driving this car now for about a week, and I've seen a couple of the older models of this car that used to be called the 530D GT, just to confuse things. Oh, look, so I'm waving my hands around in the air, and I just turned the radio on. Not meaning to. That's gesture control for you. But yeah, I haven't seen another 630 GT anywhere on the roads. And it's the kind of car, because it does have such an unusual look, which, you know, I think Pete said earlier that, you know, at first you didn't like them, but the more you see them, you kind of grow accustomed to them. And it actually now is a pretty good looking car. And because of that, you know, you do get a fair amount of attention as you drive down the road. And as I say, you're an exclusive company. It's not like as if you're going to pull into the supermarket and park next to one. It's just not going to happen, I don't think. But look, if you're looking for something a little bit left of centre, something that offers you a lot of space, is a good drive. You know, the ride in this thing is just sublime. It just soaks up the worst of the bumps and, you know, kind of irons out all those dodgy road surfaces. And this is even in sports mode. Put it in comfort mode and it gets even softer again without turning it into a wallowy pig that can't go around a corner. And of course, it's BMW, so they're pretty good from a dynamic point of view, as you might expect. But yeah, look, check it out. For something a little bit different, a little bit unusual, for proper luxury, and of course, the beautiful BMW quality. Look at that. I've just turned the gesture control on again. There goes the radio one more time. All right. I think this is the time to pull up with the GT and put our straitjackets on so we don't wave our hands around in the air too much more. Check it out. It's worth it. The BMW 630 GT. It's a beautiful car.
The ideal family vehicle has seven seats, is spacious, practical, luxurious, and realistically priced. The new Havel H9 ticks all those boxes. The 2018 Havel H9 has just landed in Australian dealerships and boasts a turbocharged 180-kilowatt engine, 8-speed auto transmission, and more of the luxuries car buyers have come to expect from Havel. With seven seats, great off-road ability, and a 5-year warranty, this is the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone is raving about, or havel.com.au.
The key to success is to properly promote your business. Altrex Auto Accessories have a simple and cost-effective way of getting your message to thousands of people every day. Promotional number plate protectors. Altrex Auto Accessories promotional number plate protectors could be screen printed with your business or dealership name, logo, phone number, whatever you require. To find out more about this affordable and effective marketing idea, visit altrex.com.au or call 02-9905-5055.
Behind the wheel.
Behind the wheel. Where motoring starts.
Yeah, still to come. We're going to go keyering, carnivaling. Grasp of the English language today.
I do like the Kia Carnival. I have to say, it's a really good drive.
You're not on your own because it's the best-selling people mover in the country by a long way. Mm. And it's been in for a bit of a nip and tuck and got some newer additions and features. So we'll hear from Kev Hepworth about that a little later in the show.
Yes, the time that I test drove it last, I think the most people I got into this people mover was two, including me, the driver, but it didn't matter because it was good fun.
Exactly right. Simon Lyon's on the way with a review of the Nissan 370Z, and right now, fresh off the plane from Beijing, China, it is the one and only Joel Helms. G'day, Joel. How are you going?
Hello, guys. Very well, thank you.
Good to have you back. Tell us all about the Beijing Motor Show.
Well, I suppose the couple of things that stand out to me is just the size of the show. It was absolutely massive. Basically, four halls plus also outside areas as well. Just an absolutely massive complex. But the other thing that stands out to me is just how many Chinese car brands there are, many, many of which we don't know of or haven't heard of or haven't seen in Australia.
Well, that's it, because it is the biggest automotive market in the world. And I know there's a lot of, the Chinese government, I think, supported a lot of those companies to get into bed with existing car makers and kind of bring that industry right up. And they've really come along in leaps and bounds.
Yeah, well, exactly. They've had to pair up with some of the manufacturers from the other nations. That situation is starting to change, however, with more of the local manufacturers taking more control. And of course, we see brands and corporations like Great Wall Motors that we do know of and do see in Australia. And Great Wall is certainly a brand that is on the ascendancy. They have, of course, a number of sub-brands, including Havel, that we know about.
Yeah.
But they've also got another brand that they've just launched called Way.
Okay. Named after, as in Curds and Whey, or?
W-E-Y, yeah.
Right, okay, yep.
And that's a brand that we could be seeing in Australia soon. And basically, mm-hmm. it's a luxury brand that sits above Havel. So the vehicle is more luxurious than the Havel vehicles, and just a little bit sportier and a little bit sexier, I suppose you'd say. And
are they SUVs, or are they...
Yeah, all SUVs.
All SUVs, okay, good.
And they've got a plug-in hybrid that they've just launched as well, which I saw in the flesh. And, yeah, it looks pretty amazing. But, look, I think we will see this brand in Australia. And just on the Havel products, we've seen the new H9 arrive recently. And I know you guys have had a drive of that one. In Australia, the H2 and the H6, the smaller models, they are still what you'd call the older generation vehicles with the 2-litre engine. I got to have a sample of the new generation vehicles, versions of those with mm-hmm. the smaller 1.5 turbo engine,
yeah.
And we can expect to see those vehicles in Australia a little bit later on in the year, and that will be another boost to Havel.
That's very good to hear. Oh. Now, I saw a car that I hadn't actually read anything much about, forgive my ignorance. I saw an MG SUV on the road the other day, and I thought, oh, now, okay, great. I know this comes from China, and I haven't seen much about it or seen another one on the road yet. Were there any at the show?
Yeah, there was a really massive MG stand. MG, of course, being a Chinese-owned brand now. They had a number of different vehicles there. They had a very interesting concept car. And the interesting thing about the MG stand is, now, we're all familiar with that Sol red colour Mazda likes to put on all its cars.
Yeah.
Every car that you see in their TV commercials has got that
yeah.
same colour.
Mm.
Well, MG has certainly taken a leaf out of that book. Every vehicle that they had on their stand was in a very similar red Ooh. Metallic paint.
I can't imagine the Mazda executives being too thrilled with that. MG, though, like, I mean, as a kid, all I remember is red MGBs. And mm. I'm still at a little bit of a loss as to how they've kind of taken the nameplate MG, but we haven't actually seen any sports cars. All we're seeing is SUVs.
Well, I don't think you really will see. I mean, the concept vehicle that they had on display was a sports model, a very nice-looking vehicle as well. But I think their future, as with it, everybody, is SUVs.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have a few sports cars that will be good sellers, but for the vast majority, if you want to sell big numbers, then you've got to have SUVs, and that's certainly where most of the Chinese manufacturers are, and most manufacturers are everywhere.
You're right. And, of course, the biggest SUV manufacturer in the world is Havel. And we've been hinting, or we've had the boys on, over the last couple of months, hinting at more electrified drivetrains,
yes.
plug-in hybrids. Did you get a hint of any of that while you were there?
Well, as I said, the Way plug-in hybrid SUV, that shares the same platform as a couple of the Havel models, so they're not too far off. And you know, Great Wall has a fully electric car available in China.
No way.
There's absolutely no reason why we won't see Chinese-built plug-in hybrids and full electric within the next couple of years. And the brands like Havel, watch them, because they're coming, and they're coming in a big way.
The Havel brand, of course, for the H9, as we mentioned, a couple of months ago when we drove, it's got to be the best value proposition on the road. H2 and H6, of course, in for upgrades as well.
Mm.
But you mentioned Great Wall, and I've only ever known of a Great Wall Ute, so they'd make more than Utes.
They do make more than Utes. As I said, they make the electric car. They make a couple of other models, an SUV model. We have seen a Great Wall SUV. That was going back a little while.
That was
yes, it was.
Yeah,
I can remember that. Yes.
And there is an all-new Great Wall Ute that is coming our way, confirmed for potentially late next year or 2020. And we're talking about a vehicle that is promising SUV-type comfort inside. And, everything else that we're seeing in the Thai-built dual cab utes that are pretty
yeah.
so popular in Australia at the moment. Yeah.
And safety ratings?
And improved safety ratings,
okay.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. They've kind of really got that nailed, I think, now. The R&D and the $8 billion research centre that I know Havel, kind of put into play, that's kind of really lifted their engineering, I think, to a whole new level.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've got to let go of this stigma when it comes to Chinese vehicles. Now, if you get out the globe and you have a look, China is a stone's throw from South Korea and a stone's throw from Japan. Really, we've got to start accepting these vehicles. They're not worried about the South Koreans, just as a matter of interest. They say they'll beat the South Koreans on technology, so in-car tech, which is, I suppose you'd say the Koreans have been maybe not quite at the forefront of things like Apple CarPlay and Android Auto and a few other things. Maybe that is their opportunity. But, they've got plenty of dollars and they're coming our way big time.
Mm. Excellent. Now, I think it was probably your first time in Beijing and you suggested that, you know, the Chinese are brilliant at kind of setting their minds to something and achieving it. I seem to remember seeing on Facebook you in one of those very fast magnetic bullet trains.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, 301 was the top speed that we reached. Mm-hmm. It comes up on the board in the carriage, and this is a perfect example of the I suppose you'd say the variations in China. In some ways, it is ultimately futuristic. You're 50 years in the lead and into the future, and in other ways, you're 50 years in the past. So where we went on the bullet train, we got there in half an hour at 300 k's an hour.
Wow.
The next day we came back in a bus, and it took us four and a half hours to go 160 k's.
Wow.
So, right. Okay.
You're talking about the car sales numbers. I don't think a lot of people realise this. I mean, they're selling about 24 million cars a year in China.
Oh, my gosh.
But the amazing thing about that, that's four times as many as they were selling about 10 years ago.
Wow, that's built and grown that quickly.
Absolutely, yeah, and such a potpourri of different vehicles. You literally, you never see the same model twice. You go from BMWs and Volkswagens and Japanese cars, and then all these Chinese vehicles that you've never seen. It is just the most hyperactive market in the world. And when you come back to Australia, you think, oh boy, we really don't have that many brands and that many models.
Exactly. did you get a chance to have a look at what cars are priced like in China? Like, are they paying, you know, your $23,990 for a Corolla as we do here, or are they cheaper or more expensive?
Yeah, they are a little bit cheaper. But what is very interesting as well is that people don't generally buy the cheap stuff. They don't buy at the bottom end. They buy the vehicles that have some prestige. They love the vehicles that make them look better and feel better. So your premium models, your premium vehicles, they are much more popular, and hence why people like Great Wall have launched this new Wei brand, because really the Chinese consumer loves the vehicle that's got some prestige. So they're filling that niche. In China, the Wei product, about 25% more than the equivalent Havel. So gives you an indication. Yeah.
And last but of course not least, did you get to sample any mystery meats while you were there?
Well, being a vegetarian, I didn't.
Excellent.
Well, not as far as I know, anyway.
Right. Excellent. Well, rest up, get over your jet lag. Great to hear about the Beijing Motor Show, and great to hear, you know, our great mates at Havel and Great Wall, for example, kicking such big goals. Joel, thank you very much. We'll chat next week.
Thanks, guys.
Motorists are taking more notice than ever about how their car ownership affects the environment. But did you know that simply keeping your car clean can also be environmentally damaging? If you want to do the right thing and keep potentially harmful chemicals out of the drains, then invest in the EcoCar car cleaning range from Altrex Auto Accessories. EcoCar are a range of effective and environmentally safe products that every Australian garage should have. And they contain environmentally friendly ingredients including natural coconut and aloe vera. You can purchase the EcoCar car cleaning range from the Altrex Auto Accessories online store at altrex.com.au.
Australian families looking for the ideal vehicle for their needs are often left frustrated. Some vehicles seem to tick all the boxes but then cost the earth. Others are well priced but don't have the space or features that families need. Stop compromising, as there is an option that won't leave you wanting more. The new Havel H9. Boasting a 180 kilowatt turbo engine, 8-speed auto, 5-year warranty, real off-road ability, and 7-seat capacity, the Havel H9 just can't be beaten. Visit your local Havel dealership today or havel.com.au.
Behind the Wheel.
On the road. Accelerated by behindthewheel.com.au.
Yeah, we're going to see the return of the lovely Rachel Franco shortly. Pete, I'm not entirely sure what to expect because, of course, last week it was homemade car accessories.
Exactly, which you know, it filled in those lonely nights, didn't it? Just doing a little knitting and weaving because you knew it would have an application in the car somewhere.
Exactly right.
Yes.
Simon Lai, he's been tearing around Sydney in the often overlooked sports car that is the Nissan 370Z.
Yes.
Remember we had it last year and it was just like, I'd forgotten how good this thing was.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I wonder what Simon will think of it. I don't think baby Simon would have got into it though because there's no back seat.
No, exactly right. It's a bit snug.
A car that probably would be more up Simon's alley is, of course, the best-selling people mover in this country. It's dominated the market for
years, it feels like.
It was kind of when the Honda Odyssey kind of stopped becoming cool and went weird. Then the Kia Carnival kind of came in and picked up where it left off.
And it's a great car, too. Certainly the last incarnation of it was fantastic.
Excellent. Well, we've got news on a refreshed version of it. And to tell us about that, it's a big behind the wheel. Welcome back to Kevin Hepworth. He's the communications bloke from Kia. G'day, Kev. How are you going?
Good morning, guys. Great to be back.
It's great to talk to you, Kevin. You must be delighted with how the Kia product is being received because it just seems to be everywhere and going ahead in leaps and bounds.
I've got to say it is very pleasing at the moment. It's not magic. It's a result of a lot of hard work and a lot of hard planning.
Hmm.
But yes, it is. The rewards are currently there, mate, and it's great to see.
And you'd have to say it's also a result of really good design, design that people like.
Well, it's design and it's backed up by excellent engineering, which the 7-year warranty is a confidence vote in that.
Yeah.
And people like what they're seeing at the moment, and that's really good. For a humble little Korean car company, we're getting along okay.
You are indeed. Got to say, that Kia Stinger, I know I raved about it at the launch and when we had it, but I just can't get it out of my head. It's such a fantastic car. Is it doing what you guys hoped it would do?
Mate, it is. It's doing some excellent work for us in that every car that lands is sold. And we're now in a situation where we're waiting on confirmation from ANCAP that with the addition of AEB to the S-grade models,
yep,
we're hoping that car will then step up again and get the 5-star rating that the rest of the range has.
Yeah, fair enough, too. The Kia Carnival, it's why we wanted to talk to you today. It's one of our favourites, purely because it's just so goddamn versatile. You can do anything with it, and you can almost hold a party in it. It's so big.
And also, you can enjoy driving it as well.
Yeah.
It's probably the USP on the car, the unique selling point for it, is that when you put the 8 people in the car, you still have enough room behind the seat, with the third row of seats, to stick a couple of suitcases, shopping, sporting gear, whatever it is,
yep,
is actually there. You're not filling the entire car with people.
Yeah, exactly. I do remember when we were lucky enough to get along to the launch of the last generation of the Kia Carnival. It was a good launch too. We went to the Gold Coast Movie World, the whole bit. But you packed us up with a picnic lunch and sent us to Byron Bay, and there's a massive well in the actual boot space. So it's quite deceiving because there's not a lot of actual physical space between, you know, sort of the tailgate and that last seat. But the fact that you've got a bit of depth in there means it actually is a functional cargo carrying spot.
Yeah, well, that's a bonus of the system that's in the back of the car now, where the third row seats actually pop down into that well when you fold them.
Oh, okay.
And you get a flat surface in the back of the car. So when you pop down the third row, it goes flat into those wells. You drop the second row and you've got somewhere where you can basically put another people mover.
Exactly right.
Just about.
Now, drivetrains for the sort of refreshed version of the Kia Carnival, are they carryovers? I think it was a 3.3-litre V6 and the 2-litre diesel?
They are carryover in the engine. Suspension has been tweaked slightly for each car to give a better ride.
Okay.
A little bit better front-end feel. So with the diesel, that involves springs and dampers. With the petrol, it was done with dampers. But the biggest change on the car, as far as drivetrain is concerned, is the 8-speed gearbox, which has gone into it.
Mm.
Wow.
So it's now picked up the gearbox that debuted in the Stinger.
Yep.
So you have an 8-speed box in the car. Also, like the upgrades on the car included, gone is that, I won't say annoying, but shall we say particular old foot brake.
Right, okay.
Good.
The foot handbrake.
Oh, I'm so pleased. Good work.
It now has an electronic handbrake.
Good.
And across the range, the car gets AEB.
Excellent.
And it also gets the new head unit, which is the OEM head unit, which means you get CarPlay and Android Auto. In the car, you get blind spot warning, you get lane departure warning. So, you know, you pick up a lot of things and active cruise control.
Oh,
so there's a lot of technological change in the car.
Yeah, yes. Okay. I seem to remember it came in a couple of grades. Are we still sort of the same model lineup as we were used to?
Yeah, we've still got the Platinum, the SLI, the SI, and the S. So the S is essentially the fleet car.
Yep.
It's the entry-level fleet. But that's the big thing now, is that all of those all of those grade changes, if you like, all of the safety changes, are right across the board.
Excellent.
So they all get the eight-speed box. They all get the AEB. So there's no definition between the S car, which is largely a fleet seller, and the Platinum, which is the top of the user-chooser range.
Yeah, fair enough, too. Pricing, has it changed any...
Marginal, but for what's gone into it, it's been a good value change. Like the S grade, for example, goes up $1,000.
You get a great new gearbox and all the safety gear.
It's like a show bag. You get lots and lots of things in there. The mid-range cars, the SI and the SLI, both go up $2,500, and the Platinum goes up $1,500.
Right.
So they've all been kept within that. Less than 5% increase range.
Excellent. Oh, well, I would suggest, based on that, you're going to retain that crown of best-selling people mover in the country. It's a good-looking unit, too, I've got to say. The design
it
of
is.
It. Yeah, it's a really handsome-looking car.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a big car, and it's hard to disguise a car that's that big. But it does. It looks quite stylish. It's not a van-based car. That's the key, I think. It's always been a car-based car. So it's essentially on a stretched... Sorrento platform.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, that's it.
That makes perfect sense. Now, I know we're due to see a refresh, I believe, of the Cerato, which has done pretty well for you guys.
It will be a bit more than a refresh. It's an entirely new model.
Right, okay.
Wow.
An all-new Cerato on the way from Kia.
Yeah, there is. It'll be with us. Well, the sedan version of that will be on sale in Australia in just over a month.
Right.
The hatch will come much later in the year. The other upgrade that's coming is the Sportage, which will have what we call a product enhancement midlife change early July.
Oh, okay. So
that's amazing.
An awful lot
stuff
on
coming.
The cards, yeah.
Yes.
Now, the Cerato...
great car. See,
how are
you going to improve that? I thought it was terrific.
Well, probably might have something to do with the fact that it's got a bit of a relationship with the car of the year for us last year, the Hyundai i30.
Mm.
It does. It's sort of a past sibling, but it'll improve in the drive. There'll be a better drive. There'll be more equipment in it. But I can't tell you too much because I'd have to come in there and pull all those electric plugs out.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note then, thanks very much for your time. Great to talk to you as always, Kev. Good luck with the carnival and keen to get more news on the Cerato and keen to get another press loan of the Kia Stinger as well, just for fun.
Hey, pleasure. Anytime you like.
Good on you, Kev. See you, bud.
Cheers, mate.
All right, then, so from the Kia Carnival, Sorrento, Cerato, Stinger, to a few Volkswagen models that we've been lucky enough to have in the Behind the Wheel garage.
Yes, and they are pretty good-looking cars too, aren't they?
Now, the Arteon, what do you think of that?
Well, at first I wasn't sure, and then I became rather fond of the whole thing. I quite like it, actually. I think it's a surprising sort of car. I can't really describe why I like it, but I really do.
There's something about it. And I've got to say, it reminded me, whilst parked in the garage, sitting looking at it, it's got an element of a transformer about it. You kind of expect it to just sort of stand up and turn into Bumblebee or something.
Yes, and swat you across the side of the head and say, get out of my way, Buster.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it really is a beautiful car. And I suppose it's a genuine contender to things like the BMW 3 Series, the Audi A4, it really does have that premium feel.
It does.
It's kind
Certainly the look. I haven't driven it yet, but I know somebody who has. Yes. Tell us about it.
Well, I can assure you it drives very, very well. It's got the same running gear underneath it as the Golf R, which, of course, is one of our favourites, that all-wheel drive 206-kilowatt turbo 4. So it actually goes, even though it is a really big car, but it's more about the finish and the feel of this thing. It really is kind of super premium, I suppose, sitting at the top of the Volkswagen lineup. But it's a good-looking thing. $65,490. Really, if you are in the market for a premium car, I reckon you need to take a visit to your Volkswagen dealer. Now, at the other end of the scale, you'll remember Paul Pottinger was on a couple of weeks ago. Telling us about the new Polo. Had a chance to have a crack at that. Now, this is the absolute base model.
Now, just refresh me.
Yep.
This is about the size that the Golf used to be once upon a time.
It is, yeah. The exterior footprint still doesn't feel as big as, say, the Golf 5. But interior-wise, it certainly feels as big as that car.
Right.
And I know cargo space, it actually has more cargo space than that Golf 5 had.
Okay.
And, of course, Polo is a car that competes with your Mazda 2s and your Toyota Yaris's and things like that. $17,990 drive away. It does have a version of, remember the three-cylinder engine you got in the Up?
Oh, I certainly do.
Such personality in an engine.
Yes.
It's got a great sound. It's only 70 kilowatts, which doesn't sound much, but that 175 newton metres of torque actually pushed this little thing along really, really well. And I've got to say, Polo has just come back and just wiped the floor with everybody else. It is so far and above the class-leading small car now, I don't think it's worth considering any of the others.
Is it something about me, or is it... I reckon that three-cylinder engines are just amazing. Every time you think three-cylinder, what is it, a lawnmower or an outboard motor? No, it is amazing. They always manage to sound fantastic, and they seem to kick along really well.
And they use no fuel. The lawnmower probably uses more.
Yes.
Of course, three-cylinder, people probably hark back to the days of the Daihatsu Charade when that came into three-cylinder. Well, that was pretty awful.
And it wasn't dumpy. Well, not really. just a little.
Just a little, indeed. So if you're in the market for a small car, the new benchmark is the Volkswagen Polo. Check that out. And one last plug I want to give to the Volkswagen Golf GTI Original.
Yes.
It's the cheapest Golf GTI ever on sale here
in
this country.
How about that? $37,480.
Exactly. With 170 kilowatts, 350 newton metres, it'll blast to 100k an hour in just on 6.4 seconds. In original form, you can get it as a three-door, which kind of baffles me a little, because I know when they first were released, they were a three-door
car.
That's what it's all harking back to.
Yep.
Of course, it does limit the practicality somewhat, but once you've squeezed past that driver's seat and got in the back, it's got the same amount of room as a normal Golf, and it's actually not bad.
Yes, and yet.
Yes, I know. But
pushing the damn seat forward and climbing over the back and doing a triple overhead reverse pike and thrust, no thanks.
Not a good look.
No.
But you know what? If you're trying to get into a GTI, it's the cheapest way to do it. You've still got the space inside. You've got the original tartan on the seats. You know, it is stripped out a little. Doesn't have quite as much as your bog standard GTI, but you're not missing anything. I suppose, you know, you have to put the key in the slot and turn the key instead of a starting button.
Oh, gosh, how arduous is
that? You don't have sat-nav built in, but you've got Apple CarPlay, which has got your maps on it anyway.
Same deal.
So it is an absolute cracker. Of course, it's, you know, the king of the hot hatches. We're going to be driving the Hyundai i30N in the next couple of weeks, so that'll be interesting.
I'm looking forward to that. Yes.
Yeah, knock the VW off.
Yep.
But, you know, if you're trying to get into a car that's fun, practical, and reasonable value, the Golf GTI Original is 100% worth a look. Go check it out.
You should really go to your VW dealer for the whole lot. Go on a shopping spree.
We're not being paid by VW, by the way, but
nor anybody, so it's fine. Whatever we say about cars is unprompted by anyone else.
Havel's just released a new family seven-seater SUV, the Havel H9. A finalist in the 2017 4x4 Australia Awards, the Havel H9 is an impressive SUV, boasting a 180-kilowatt turbo engine, smooth 8-speed auto, 5-year warranty, real off-road ability, and 7-seat capacity. The luxurious Havel H9 will take you to the outback and back in complete comfort. It's the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone is raving about, or havel.com.au.
You've heard us on the radio. Now check out the Behind the Wheel website at behindthewheel.com.au. You can browse all our latest car reviews and car product reviews too. You can also watch our video car reviews and check out all the latest auto news. And make sure you leave your comments. Give us feedback, ask for advice, or just let us know all about your car. Behindthewheel.com.au, where motoring starts.
Behind the Wheel.
On the road. Accelerated by behindthewheel.com.au.
Yeah, we've been on the road in a BMW 630 GT, very svelte indeed. We've also had some chats about a people mover, Kia Carnival, the number one selling people mover in the country with its 7-year warranty. Kev is a great bloke. But I think they might be starting to get just a smidge of competition from France.
Yes.
And from behind the wheel of said French people mover, being Peugeot 5008, it is Simon Lai.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Hello, Simon. It's great to talk to you.
Now, hey. I know we're not here to talk about Peugeots and their people mover. We're actually going to get on the sports car, but you've just picked up the 5008. I think it won European Car of the Year, or was that its little brother? I think it might have been the 3008 that won Car of the Year. Anyway, yeah, regardless, it's the new 7-seater from Peugeot. And what's it like? First thoughts?
Yeah, I was impressed with the smaller one, and I thought that I was going to think that this one was about the same. And so far, by the looks of it, it really is. You know, it's really swish. They've done a really good job of putting it together. So I think I'm going to have the same feeling about it next week.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to the full review. But, of course, we do want to talk to you about a car that Pete and I drove late last year and went... Mm-hmm. Geez, we had forgotten about this, hadn't we?
We had forgotten how good it was and how much fun it is. And had you forgotten, Simon?
Oh, not really. I mean, who doesn't love getting in a coupe and having a spin? It's just a joy to drive.
Yeah. Exactly. So we talk of the Nissan 370Z. Of course, Z cars have a huge history. And I do know that last year, when we spoke to Effie Zahos from Money Magazine a couple of months ago, the classic car that increased in value the most was, in fact, the Datsun 240Z. So this is kind of its predecessor, isn't it?
A bit further along the line.
Yeah, I'm too young to remember that stuff.
Then. That's enough of that. Now it's the 370Z. Was there anywhere to put the baby seat for Simon Jr.?
No, not at all. I mean, it's a coupe. It's $2, two seats, so not really. It's really just meant for the drive. You can't fit any... kids in there, can't fit any luggage in there. It's all about enjoying the drive.
It's all about exhilaration, isn't it?
Exactly. And did you get exhilarated in the car, that is?
Well, yeah. I mean, compared to a lot of similar cars of this ilk, of this size, it really was nicely put together. I found it's one of the most well-balanced that I've driven in terms of, you know, the power and the dynamics of the drive, the whole ride and everything. Everything just felt really cohesive when you turn to corners and go around bends. It was just like feeling like you're really at one with the car. I know it sounds corny, but that's how it felt.
Simon at one with the car. I like kind of how ballsy it is. You sort of forget that it's really mean and meaty, and it whacks a big punch. Like, it's got plenty to... Well, if you're not careful, you can get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, I know, but it's always nice driving something that's, you know, raw, a naturally aspirated V6 engine. You know, nowadays a lot of cars this size with turbos and that, and this, you know, it just goes back to basics.
Hmm. Yeah, indeed. I must say I was a little struck with how... I don't want to make it sound bad, but it felt old. You know, like it kind of the architecture and the dash. It feels like it's a generation behind.
A little behind, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. I mean, as I said in my review, that with these type of cars, like, you know, the focus is on the drive. So usually the dash and the interior is a bit basic, but this one, like you said, it felt a bit dated. It was missing a lot of features. It hardly has anything in there. There was no way to put anything. There's no storage or anything like that. There was a touchscreen that was really small. So, you know, there's hardly anything to mention, almost.
Yeah, so really it is an indulgent sort of car. You drive it because you want the sound and the fury of the thing, but if you want practicality and functionality, look elsewhere. How much would you be looking to stump up if you decided, I'm going to have a Nissan 370Z, you see if I don't? How much?
Well, for this one, it was priced from $50,490, and it also comes in a roadster version.
Okay, that's actually pretty good value. Like, you know, if you're looking for a car for enjoyment that actually can do the job... You know, and yeah. I think people who are out looking for the Mustang, for example, should be shopping the Nissan 370Z as well.
Mm. That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually quite unique. There are hardly any cars like this. I mean, you mentioned the Mustang, but that's kind of big and chunky.
Bulky
this
and one, boat-like.
Yeah, exactly. And this
driven by really old, bald, fat men.
Hey.
Yeah, so if you want a car that can go around a corner, don't go to the Ford dealer, go to the Nissan dealer.
Oh, listen, Mustang drivers, just forgive him. He's just being entertaining.
You know, all those Mustang drivers have moved up from the Chrysler PT Cruiser 200 thing.
Oh, sorry, Chrysler drivers. He's just being entertaining.
Simon, your review, is it up at behindthewheel.com.au?
That's right.
Excellent.
Read it there.
I'd encourage everyone to go and have a read, Simon Lai. Thank you very much. Enjoy the Peugeot.
No problems. We'll do. Catch you next time.
Yeah, well, it's kind of got to that time of the show where we like to wheel her out. She's kind of, we always save it to last because...
She's amazing.
There's always a surprise factor. You never quite know what you're going to get.
No, the great topics she comes up with.
I know. You do always, pretty much guaranteed you'll get a laugh, at least.
Of course, because she's also very witty. Her name, of course, is Rachel Franco, and here she is now.
I always feel really good about myself when I speak to you two.
Oh, you dear thing.
I wish I had that intro every day when I got up in the morning. I just need you two to just do a bit of a voiceover for me when I'm standing in the bathroom.
Her name is Rachel.
Hot mess.
In a world without Rachel, here she is.
Too funny.
Guys.
Now, I hope you're well. We wanted to chat to you today about car names.
Yes.
Yeah, I once went out with a girl who drove a car. And she called it Jim, and every time she was about to go out, she'd say, Jim and I are going for a drive. Can you guess what sort of car it was?
So for the first 6 months, we were like, who is this Jim?
I know, I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
And then it kind of got funny and cute while I was sort of still, you know, had eyes for her. And then when I realised kind of, you know, she revealed her true self, then I thought it was a really lame joke and
moved on.
Exactly.
I once had a car that was known as Bev. And Bev sounds like something diminutive and kind of cutesy, but actually it was a big Nissan. And it got its name from its number plate, which was BEV something, something, something.
That was a big Nissan Patrol.
It was a Nissan Patrol. And it was great fun, and I've always thought, why ever did I sell Bev? Because Bev was a terrific workhorse, never ever put a foot wrong.
Never, and looked great, did the job.
Marvellous. Yep.
Have you named any of your cars? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't tend to do it, but I had a Barina about 15 years ago, and it just... morphed into being Barry.
Barry the Barina. See, I didn't think of a Barina as a male. Like, you would think, you know, Barina would have been, you know, Brenda.
Rach.
I felt quite comfortable calling him a him.
Oh, Rach.
It'd be weird driving around in a girl car.
He's like a ladyboy of cars, isn't he?
He's just being stereotypical.
No,
take note. Take no notice of him. He's just being entertaining again.
Well, it's funny. My friend's got a Santa Fe.
Right.
And the initials for a Santa Fe, obviously, are SF.
Yes.
So her car is known as Sasha Fierce. So I don't know if you know Beyonce's alter ego.
Of course.
Sasha Fierce. She has, and this car is known as Sasha.
I love it. Yes.
It's not the Santa Fe. It's not the car. It's not the four-wheel drive. It's Sasha.
Sasha. Yep. That's exactly right. Yep.
Yeah.
Love it.
And there's all the old classics. Like, everyone I know that's over a certain age calls their car Bertha.
Yes. Big Bertha.
Really?
Yeah,
Big Bertha.
Toyota Crown drivers. Driving around in their Berthas.
Oh, you know, that's what we're missing these days is a Toyota Crown.
Toyota Crown.
You don't see enough of them anymore.
No. And they were the ones with the wing mirrors out on the ends of the bonnet almost.
Yes, that's right. And occasionally you'd see people driving around in one, and they did have the doily on the seat just to give it that extra degree of
cuteness. You've got to have a doily.
Gotta have it.
Very classy.
If you're not in Tokyo in a taxi where they specialise in doilies in cars, at least you can have it here and pretend.
Exactly. That's lovely.
Excellent.
You can never go past a good old doily, I don't think.
No, I think so.
Well, we'll see if we can't find you a doily pattern that you can start crocheting, Pete, for the back of the Audi A7.
Yeah, can I put my order in now? I'll take 10.
Well, of course, Rach, because last week you were talking about accessories you can make yourself at home. who can ever forget those amazing rubber thongs, mud flaps? which actually I still think is one of the coolest looking things I've seen.
Need to absolutely. Get onto that.
If you haven't seen it, head to our website, behindthewheel.com.au. Rach, time always goes too quick with you. Thank you so much. Let's do it again
next week,
yeah?
Lovely. Would love to.
Well, I think we will. It's a big show next. It's a big show next week too. We click over our 500th episode next week. Can you believe that?
Oh my God!
500 weeks we've been doing this,
and I only feel about 400.
Feel like it too.
All right, be back next week for Kate. Thanks very much, CP.
See you then.
Cheers. Bye.
One of the smartest and most versatile products in the Altrex Auto Accessories range is Skin's Invisible Protection Film. Apply to your car's headlights or paintwork to protect from stone chips and road debris damage without affecting aerodynamic efficiency or the look of your car. You can use the ultra-thin and strong film on items around your house, such as windows, furniture and white goods. Order a roll now at altrex.com.au or pick some up at your local auto accessory retailer. Skin's Invisible Protection Film. The clear choice in paintwork and headlight protection, and a whole lot more.
The ideal family vehicle has 7 seats, is spacious, practical, luxurious, and realistically priced. The new Havel H9 ticks all those boxes. The 2018 Havel H9 has just landed in Australian dealerships and boasts a turbocharged 180-kilowatt engine, 8-speed auto transmission, and more of the luxuries car buyers have come to expect from Havel. With 7 seats, great off-road ability, and a 5-year warranty, this is the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone is raving about, or havel.com.au.